In the name of God, the Creator, God, the Redeemer, God, the Holy Spirit. I find it very interesting, or maybe funny is a better word, to note that while the second prediction of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection is separated in Mark's gospel by quite a bit of material through the end of chapter 8 and a substantial portion of chapter 9, that our church has them follow upon each other on successive Sundays. Now, the gospel writer tells us that the disciples did not understand what Jesus was saying, and they were also afraid to ask him. Rather, as they walked along the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And given the business in last Sunday's gospel about Jesus rebuking Peter and saying, "Get behind me, Satan," I kind of understand why the disciples were trying to simply ignore what Jesus was saying and talk about something else. I suspect most of us would have done the same. As I compared these two passion prediction narratives, I was drawn to look at the third and final time that Jesus foretells his death and resurrection in chapter 10 of Mark's gospel. In doing so, I noted some interesting similarity between the second and third prediction stories, which offers a clue as to what is really going on here. At the end of today's gospel, Jesus sits down, calls the 12, and says to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he places a child among them and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." In the story in chapter 10, after Jesus states the third prediction, James and John approach him, asking that in his glory, one will sit at his right and one will sit at his left. As the other disciples become aware of this, they become angry. So Jesus calls them over and says to them, "Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So let's focus again on today's gospel, in which the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest, and Jesus simply places a child among them. This is quite astonishing because children have no value in this culture. In fact, children were thought of more as liabilities. Children had no social status within a village or a community. So by putting a child before the disciples, Jesus was reversing normal social customs. He begins to make it clear that in the reign of God, up is down and east is west. First equals last. And what appeared to be black and white is actually gray. Indeed, he is telling them and us that the communities that form around him will be radically different from other communities. For Jesus, what was considered standard in terms of status simply no longer works. He takes the established societal norms around power and security and turns them upside down. This morning, Jesus, our sibling and friend, is inviting his disciples and us to live into God's dream for us and the world which God has created and loves beyond measure. He is inviting us to imagine that a life well lived comes not through gaining influence and agency, but through being peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy. Not through selfish ambition, but through lives of service. And not by collecting impressive companions, but by welcoming outcasts and strangers. All of this puts me in mind of a quote often attributed to the Talmud, but is actually derived from a commentary on Micah. It reads, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. It seems that our world is in a bit of a mess. When I met with my spiritual director this past Wednesday, we did a fair amount of commiserating on the sad state of affairs in our own country right now. The Delta variant of COVID continues to infect and kill thousands of people. Our political landscape has been ruptured by conspiracy theories, partisan entrenchment, and a significant amount of violence. We are currently experiencing a frightening resurgence of racism, nationalism, and xenophobia. There seem to be no good strategies available to address social and economic injustice, and immigrants and refugees continue to be either ignored or demonized. So what can we do in the midst of all of this? Well, the Catechism in the back of our Book of Common Prayer has this to say about the Church. The mission of the Church is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. The Church pursues its mission as it prays and worships, proclaims the gospel, and promotes justice, peace, and love. So this is what I believe that we can do to change the world. As followers of Jesus, our discipleship must be lived out in loving God and in loving our neighbors as ourselves. Again, we are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are any of us free to abandon it. Now, I honestly believe that every act of loving kindness pushes back against and mitigates evil in this world. So sometime this week, call a lonely friend. Treat a kid to some fun time away from Zoom. Buy a gift card for resettling refugees and drop it off to Annette or in the offering plate on Sunday. Get some bottled water for the blessing box. Cut a compromised neighbor's grass or offer to trim their hedges. Pay for the coffee for the person behind you in line at Starbucks. This list could go on and on, but you all get it. In short, I believe that the only way that we can make the world a more loving place is by each and every one of us becoming more loving day after day after day. So to close, I want to quote our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, who wrote this in his book, Crazy Christians, A Call to Follow Jesus. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Discipleship is about focusing on Jesus, following in the footsteps of Jesus, becoming his hands and feet in the world. Discipleship is about loving as Jesus loves, forgiving as Jesus forgives, welcoming and including as Jesus welcomes and includes, doing justice and loving mercy and walking humbly with God like Jesus. Matthew's gospel concludes with Jesus telling the disciples to go, therefore, and make disciples who make a difference in the world. Go, therefore, and be my hands, be my feet, be my face, be my voice, and change the world. Amen.